This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 19th, episode 2374, brought to you by Stateline Tack. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, you made it to Wednesday. Only 3 days left till a weekend full of horsey fun. Lucky for you, you have Jamie and Glenn to get you through on Horses in the Morning.
I don't know if they're lucky or not, actually, this morning.
Glenn's in a mood today. He's having some technology. And apparently my dogs are just going to bark like crazy. Hey, come here.
What a way to start the show this morning.
Woo-hoo, we're here, baby. I just have so many people coming in and out. And I am so tired of this house build. But also the amount of mansplaining that is happening to me repeatedly, like on a daily basis. So I've got an example of one from yesterday that I'm going to share in the post show. Good times, good times.
Speaking of the post show, that is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about mansplaining. Do I do that a lot? Are we going to find out in the post show?
You actually this morning, and Jennifer probably is recording it, and you can come back with the yes. I said, this is so much prep work. Oh, you don't even understand. I had to get up for it. So you actually just won up.
That's I did. Yes. Yeah,
so that's good. I have to do this.
Sometimes Jamie has to be put in her place.
Oh, really?
On Hit 'em today in the health segment, we have Dr. Siemens discussing the five most common emergencies. We have a crappy list Wednesday and a study show. Plus, we have an auditor highlight with Maggie's going to be on for an auditor highlight today as
in
well.
In my place.
Thank Did you notice
I'll
how
just
I just went
here
on?
And be quiet.
So my daily Winnie today.
Your wife is a saint. I don't know how she is.
Is one of these. See, I'm not feeling too bad because you complain about your husband as much as me, so we're in even ground. Happy birthday to Jana Brown Vallum and Samantha Reeves. Happy birthday to both of you, and welcome to new auditors Vicky Rucker, Pernilla Ripka, Elizabeth Wade, and to those that upped their pledges, Carol Carter, Marielle Jenquin, Vengeance, and Sarah Winfrey. So thank you all for what you've done to help support the Horse Radio Network. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute, too.
Just so you know, husband, if you're listening right now, I don't complain about you. Ever.
Not at all.
What you're doing right now is the greatest thing ever. He's going to get me hay. He's about to leave on a trip and he's like, what can I do for you? I'm like, go get some hay. So he's going to get hay. So my daily Winnie.
A task I'm not allowed to do because I get the wrong hay. So
I know. Yeah. I've already, this is an unapproved facility.
Okay.
my daily Winnie, gosh, you know, speaking of the husband, he's having a really, really hard time with an event that happened at our farm yesterday. And I just think he's not understanding the future and that every male horse has had it done pretty much. And that is castration.
Somebody got snipped.
Stan Lee had brain surgery yesterday. Bless his heart. But Chad's like, he didn't do anything wrong. He's perfect. It's not like he's a jerk and he needed it. Like, he's really sweet and perfect now. And I'm like, yeah. And come spring, he's going to be trying to breed his sister. It's like perspective. So Stanley
Poor
got
Chad's
his brain surgery.
Feeling his manhood. Here.
Yes. He was. And then last night we're sitting eating dinner and he's like, how does it happen? I was like,
oh, he didn't
what
watch?
Do you mean? No, no, he walked out of the, like, through the barn, saw us all in the field. It was Daly laying down. He was like, okay.
Saw the horse upside down and went, oh, no,
get yeah, me. Turned around and walked off. She's like, how does it happen? And I'm like, we're eating dinner. I was like, you really, really don't want me to explain it. I'm kind of curious. Like, how does that happen? I was like, really? I don't think you want. He's like, okay, never mind. Don't tell me. Like, I know you. Like, let me do you a favor and not explain how this works.
I half watched it once. I got about halfway into that process and I was out. That was it for me.
So my vet, her name is Dr. White. She's the woman Dr. White. And then Dr. White is also her husband. And he does a lot of repro stuff and cattle stuff and. So, but Lucas is on their kid's baseball team. Lucas and their child is the same age. So we went to baseball last night and Chad walks up to the male Dr. White and says, your wife came out and, you know, took the manhood away from our baby horse. And I'm so, and Dr. White, the man goes, yeah, I did 7 today. Oh, God. Chad's like, oh my God. I'm like, you will get no love for this. It's happened. It's over. And then the whole discussion, I don't know if you know, you've talked about this, Glenn, what to do with the removed testicles is apparently a thing with different sports, like different disciplines. So I post a picture and somebody said,
something I've ever thought about.
Throw them on the roof. And so I was like, what? Throw them on the roof? I don't know what that means. And then she says, okay, my Dr. White's got them in her hand. You know, she's like, what do you want me to do with them? And I was like, I don't know. Just dispose of them. And she's like, no. In reining horses, you throw them off to the side. So they spin around better. And she's like, and in racehorses, you throw them out to the front, or is this some sort of Western sport? You throw them out in front of it so they chase it. And what? She was like, what do eventers do? I was like, I don't know. None of that sounds normal. She's like, okay, so eventers are normal. Good to know. She's like, she's like, where do you want me to throw them? I said, I don't throw them on front. So he chases them. So threw the testicles over his butt in the front of him. And then I read the thing about the roof. And I thought initially it said you have to throw them off of your roof.
Oh, you have to climb up on the roof.
And she's like, I am not climbing on your barn roof to throw these things off. And then once I read you throw them on the barn roof, I'm like, I'm not going to have these things stuck in my gutter. Like, the slope of the roof would just suck them right down in the gutter. Gross. Like, this is all horrible. So we threw them out to the front, picked them up, and disposed of them. So that's what happened. This is probably TMI. I went on too long, didn't I? Sorry. No, I didn't know this was a discussion.
I didn't know it was a thing either. I think I don't remember what we did with them, to be honest.
I said all the
castrations. Threw them in the muck heap, I think. You know?
Yeah, I've been at... no, because I don't want the dogs to get them. Oh. Gross. I was like, all the castrations I've been associated with, I've never had anybody tell me... Oh. Poor Stanley. I feel so bad for him. And he was in so much pain last night. I was like, Chad, he pawed all. He had to stay in last night and he pawed all his
dog. Chad doesn't want to hear that.
He's like, he's missing his nuts. Like, every horse goes through it. Every horse. Now, I have another fairly large. I'm going to drop some news on you. I'm sure you didn't listen to Monday's show, Glenn.
I did not. No, I was sitting in a jury room for 12 hours.
Do you want me to drop some big news on you?
Okay, big news.
Because it was news that this is going to like throw off like your whole schedule today. But okay, it's not my fault. I'm going to continue to sell out my husband and my child. But I had those two mares that I had for training from Horse and Hound, and I took them back. I finished with one. One is unable to complete its training physically. So I took them both back and she's like, gives me this horse. She's like, okay, I've got one. It came off the track 2 weeks ago, but it's really good. She's like, all I need you to do is take it home and get some riding videos. It'll be fine. It's a really nice horse. So she brings out this horse and this horse is built like Seattle Slough, like huge, giant shoulders and muscles, and it's dark bay with a really crazy looking crooked blaze, and it's a mare, 6-year-old mare named Little Bit Oaky.
And for those around the world, explain what that kind of means to you.
Well, that's what they call people in Oklahoma,
yep.
Oaky.
Yep.
And I mean, to be completely fair, I'm not a little bit Oaky.
No,
not
you're a little
yet.
Bit bulldog. It's like
I don't know what I am, but it's not a little bit Oaky. But this horse is named Little Bit Oaky. And so Chad immediately is like, oh my God, she's amazing. Like, okay, I never take Chad with me. Last time we went, we got the dog, you know, and Chad is the one who picks the horses. Like, he will see a horse and he will become in love, like, he'll be in love with it. And be, as the trainer and the person who does all the work, you realize that when you get a new horse, it's you. Like, I have to ride it. I have to work it. I have to do all the stuff. So we get Little Bit Oaky in the trailer and he's just like, wow, she's really awesome. Like, yeah, okay, we need a 6-year-old mare that came off the track 2 weeks ago. Glenn, I swear to God, the guy has the most innate sense of horse flesh for somebody who doesn't. This is the dang coolest mare I have ever been around. She, ride number one, I take her, usually I put him in the round pin and I do the join up and the long lining.
Wait a minute,
and
is she a redhead, ride, by the way?
Dark Bay.
Okay.
Dark Bay, and take her in the round pen, and within like 5 minutes I'm like, okay, open the round pen. I take her out, I ride around the arena. Ride number two, I'm like, okay, let's see if she can walk, trot, canter, and jump. I ride number two, and this horse is a 6-year-old mare off the track 2 weeks, and then I'm like, Chad's like, I really like her. And I was like, well, if you like her so much, get on her. Boom, he gets on her and like rides her around no problem. And then I'm like, Lucas, come here. What, Mom? Get your helmet. Get on this horse. I don't want to ride this horse. This isn't Duke. Get on the horse. This is Oaky. He gets on. I love her. She's the best.
So you have now, adopted a new horse?
Yes. As of today, we have another off the track thoroughbred. Yay!
Yeah, but Chad empty. Can't complain about this one because it was his idea.
It was his idea. He doesn't complain. To be fair, I'm the one who's like exhausted when I come in from riding all these damn horses. But Little Bit Oaky now is a little bit part of Flyover Farm.
The fact that you own a mare is amazing. That's the amazing part. 10 years of talking about how you'll never own a mare.
So we had the vet out yesterday, took a look at her, and because to be fair, I was like, this mare, I'm pretty sure I was like, I don't want a full pre-purchase. I just want you to take blood. And she's like, why? Like, to make sure she has it and she's not a robot. This is the, she's like, gets off trailer. Like on Monday, I described it. She's just kind of like, whatever. Okay, sure. And then we get the vet out. And this is a mare who's like, come off the track. And you just expect them to be high strung. The vet is like, we're standing there talking and the vet's holding her and she falls asleep. I was like, is she narcoleptic? What is going on? Why is she so calm? And she's like, maybe she's just one of those. She's just kind of been there, done that and seen it all and just doesn't care. I was like, listen to her heart. She goes, yep, she's got a heart. There's a beat. Like, perfect. Okay, so we're good.
How big is she?
She's probably about 16 hands, 16-1.
Yeah. Big boned.
Big boned, yeah. Muscled like a dang quarter horse. I mean, she is big.
Future and of event course, prospect, you're hoping?
I more think she's going to be just like a really nice family horse. She's just so chill. But what I did get, she said she's a little bit unbalanced behind. It seems like, you know, she's been running on straight ground and perfectly flat footing for her whole life. And I was like, yeah, of course. And so she's actually instructed me to trail ride her and take her up and down the hills and kind of get her out and moving around other than a straightaway. So green light to just go hack for 6 months and see what we got. So I'm super excited.
Well, congratulations.
She's really nice. And another horse and hound horse has been adopted, which, by the way, out of the 9 I've trained, that is 7 that have been adopted.
Wow.
Even the Bucker Ridge got adopted. If only every bucker could be gray.
I'm pretty.
People don't care. I know. I fixed it. Yeah, that's great. But it used to buck. That's okay. It's gray.
It's gray. It's funny how people pick horses. How many times have we talked about that over the years? Speaking of over the years, we have to celebrate something today. At the Horse Radio Network, I discovered over the weekend when I was looking at some numbers, and I wasn't paying attention to this. We've been advertising that for about 2 years that we have over 8,500 episodes on the Horse Radio Network, and I just never thought about it. But then I discovered that we're over 10,000 episodes. We hit the 10,000 mark probably about 2 months ago, and I just never noticed. I think we're at about 10,200 now, but for a small independent network talking about one niche, tiny niche at that, that's pretty good to have done 10,000 episodes.
And what the heck are we talking about every day? Good God.
So 10,000 episodes for Horse Radio Network. We've had about 13,000 guests. I don't know exactly. It's going to be around that. I lost track of how many downloads the network had about 10 years ago. So I know, you know, we track some shows, the client shows, better than our shows. And I know this show's had millions. And
we used to get monthly updates.
Oh, that was
about 10
years ago.
Yeah. Chad's like, I would really love to see that. I'm like, me too.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going back to do that. So I predict that we've had between 10 and 20 million downloads, somewhere in that range.
That's a big window.
Yeah. You know, so covering my bases with that one.
You're like, I really don't know. So I'm just going to between 1 and 100 million downloads.
I kind of look at what each show does, you know, on a quarterly basis, but those spreadsheets are long outdated. Because we're doing 10,000 episodes, I don't have time. And you know, for a long time, it was Jennifer and I. We didn't have Jemmy or anybody helping. It was just Jennifer and I doing all the recordings and all the editing. We didn't even have editors. It was just us. If I figured out we average about 44 minutes per episode on the network, not just our show, but all the shows, that equals 440,000 minutes of programming, which is 7,333 hours, almost a year. Solid year of programming we've done. We've had over 60 sponsors. I've bought 61 mics, 5 mixers, and 10 computers, including one yesterday.
I was about to say, you should be a millionaire. And then you were like, I bought 61 mics, 5 mixers, and 10 computers.
So yesterday, I was telling Jamie before the show, but we were not recording because I couldn't get the damn thing to work. So 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my third backup computer, because two died in the last 2 weeks, died. And I had recordings to do last night. And I couldn't get any. I ran out of computers, and I have a lot
of
computers.
Thanks for upping your pledges, auditors.
Yeah. So I had to drive to Best Buy, which where we live is not, it's an hour and a half round trip. I got to tell you the story. I go into Best Buy, and of course, the Best Buy guy comes, salesman guy. As soon as you walk into the computer department, they're like leeches on you. And I walked over to the desktops. I knew pretty much what I wanted. And he said, oh, let me explain to you about all the desktops. I said, you're going to explain to me the difference. And I was in a hurry. So I said, you're going to explain to me the difference between this one and this one. And he looked at me and he could tell I was pretty serious. And he did. He explained the difference in about 2 minutes. I said, I'll take that one. I'll take the 1 year warranty and let's check out. And he looked at me and I went, this is probably the easiest sale he's had in 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And within about 8 minutes, I was out the door with the computer, came home, set it up, got it working for last night. And then, of course, this morning, everything changed. I don't know why. And we were having all kinds of problems before the show. You and I have spent around. This is why earlier in the show, you and I have spent 1,500 days on the air together. And that's around 2,000 hours.
Oh, my God. I think we should break up.
It's the longest relationship that you've had. So maybe Chad's a little longer.
I mean, I went from a serial dater to like married and a long-term job. I mean, I never kept a job more than 2 years.
And they happened about the same time.
More than a year. And they happened at the same time. What happened to me?
I don't know. You're like settled. I think we could officially call you settled now.
I just got a new horse. That's what happens is I keep having to get new horses. They come and go.
So when you hear Jamie and I, like earlier in the show, when I said sometimes you just have to tell her the way it is, I think I have a right. I've spent 1,500 days with you.
You have no right. That means I get to tell you what to do. So we still get along perfectly.
Every day. So yeah, that's a lot of programming. And I want to thank all the hosts of all the different shows, all the guests we've had over the years on all the different shows, all the sponsors, and just the listeners. I want to thank you guys. You're the ones that make it possible for us to still be here doing this after 10,000 episodes. It's such big news that it made it to the top podcasting newsletter today. Our 10,000 episode mark. It's just kind of unheard of. So congratulations to everybody, and thank you, Jamie, for putting up with me for 2,000 hours.
It's wrapping up.
Kind of ridiculous numbers when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure are. Well, it's been a hell of a ride. Thanks for giving me an actual radio job that lasted more than, a year and a half.
A year.
Well, the boyfriends lasted the year. The radio gigs lasted 2 years because that's a typical contract.
Well, I did want to say that we have a brand new version of a show, the Eventing Radio Show with Rick and John. The first episode is out now. You'll find it on the Eventing Radio Show feed. We've been getting good response to it. They've taken over this year hosting that show. And if you're into eventing at all, take a listen to it. Have you listened to it yet?
Not yet. Not yet. I've been a little busy castrating.
Castrating and getting new horses. But yeah, take a listen to that, everybody. I think you're going to enjoy it.
And Kayla Mueller has a new show coming out.
Well, right? On ours. She's going to be next week. She's going to be the fourth Thursday of every month. Kayla, one of our terrific auditors and good friends, is starting a breeding and sales episode here on Horses in the Morning. We recorded most of it the other day. She has an Australian guy co-host with a wonderful accent. So I think that episode's going to be very popular, and they're both really sharp, and it's going to be all about buying and selling horses and pre-purchase exams, and it's something that we all go through, right, at one point or another. Some of us, Jamie, more than others. It's also going to be about breeding, talking to breeders.
And Kayla is the same size as me. We see eye to eye.
She might even be tinier. she's pretty tiny. She might be. And she rides big horses too. But yeah, so that's going to be starting next Thursday. So, we may have been around a long time, but we keep trying to freshen things up and do new things and bring you new content as well. Also want to thank the auditors, about 400 of them. We've been adding a bunch of new auditors and we really appreciate that. A bunch of auditors have been increasing their pledges. So thank you for that too. So congratulations, everybody. I'm very excited we're still here, to be honest.
Amen, brother.
Well, Stateline Tack is our sponsor for the day, and I was just on their website looking around, and if you are riding Western, the one thing that Stateline Tack has Western products. Durango boots are very popular. I saw their huge, enormous stand when we were out at WESA. Well, they have them up to 25% off right now at Stateline Tack. If there's one thing that there is more selection of than saddle pads in the English world, it's cowboy boots in the Western world.
God, isn't that the truth?
Oh, my God.
How do people decide? And then most of the times your jeans cover them anyway, so all you're seeing is the top of the boot.
It's the toe, you've seen the cowboys with their jeans tucked into their boot, and then you see the cowboys with their jeans on the outside of the boot. And Tammy once explained to me which cowboys were which and why they did what they did, but I've totally forgotten.
Oh, my gosh. I want to know.
Yeah, we're going to have somebody on to talk cowboy boot etiquette because
I'm sure that cow guys have their boots tucked, their jeans tucked into their boots because they're walking around.
Well, doesn't it make more sense? Your pants don't get all dirty that way, right? Yeah. In the mud and stuff. So I don't know. We'll have to have somebody on. I remember we had a guy on a long time ago that explained cowboy hat etiquette, and it basically came down to shape and stuff is where you lived. Like in Oklahoma, apparently the cowboy hats are a different shape.
Oh, Lord. You know what? Get Stateline Tack on to answer all these questions.
We need to find out. But if you're looking for some boots and you like Durango, you're going to find them up to 25% off right now. They also have an outlet sales event. Their outlet is their kind of closeout products. I just saw they have the Ovation Prodigy helmets in there for $33.
What?
40% off. They have bell boots, the classic equine bell boots that everybody likes so much for $23, down from $35. They have fly masks. They have all different kinds of blankets in there, marked down 50%. So, you know, head on over there right now. They have all kinds of breeches, too, including carrots marked down to $30. Carrots tights at $30? That's unheard of. You never find that. And probably they have them in your size because you're tiny. You probably can get the carrots breeches for $30 right now.
What section is that in? I'm on state line right now.
Okay, go into the outlet sales event in the upper right corner. You'll see it. Don't miss President's Day deals up to 75% off.
Oh, got it.
Go into the outlet, and then you're going to see all of those deals. And they have some of the nice carrots tights. Ooh,
look at that outback jacket. I like that. Yeah. Okay.
And blankets, all different kinds of Rambo blankets. They have Amigo blankets. They have Amigo stock turnout sheets for $74, marked down from $120. So, I mean, it's just all kinds of sales in there right now. There's 10 pages of sales. I noticed one of our auditors said that she went shopping the other day, and it was, like, free. And then she posted a picture of her checkout, and it was, like, $230.
So. I mean, but with the savings, Glenn, the savings makes it like it's free.
Like it's free. It's probably $2,000 worth of stuff. So then it is like it's free right there. So statelinetac.com, go check out the savings today.
Well, you can really spend a lot of money on helmets. Yeah. You might as well go get them in this clearance.
Yes. So we did a recording with Dr. Siemens a while back, and I wanted to replay it. I think you and Lisa were on this show. I wanted to replay it because there's been so many auditors with emergencies. I've seen so many bloody pictures of horses here recently, including one of ours, Nigel. With Jennifer,
say, don't throw auditors on the bus. It's your backyard that you needed. You were like, what can we do? Let me find this. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Siemens did a segment, and we love Dr. Siemens, on the 5 most common emergencies with horses. So we're going to replay that for you today. We're coming back with an auditor spotlight with Maggie, who just got herself a Kilpen standardbred. We're going to learn about that. And also, we have a list that Jamie's going to do. It's my husband told me it was buy one, get one free. It's
No. I told my husband it was buy one, get one free, and seven other horsey confessions, and you guys are going to love it.
That's appropriate for today and with the commercial we just did.
That's why I picked it.
All right, here's Dr. Siemens.
Let's start talking to, we've got one of my favorite vets on. Dr. Madison Siemens is going to come on in just a second and talk to us about the 5 most common equine emergencies. Ooh. Well, hi, Dr. Siemens. How are you? It's Jamie, and I'm here with Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. So glad to hear from you guys. And sorry I can't harass Glenn, but I guess he's taking a well-deserved vacation.
Yeah, he is.
You guys should be tickled that he's letting you do this unsupervised. So I guess we just have to go from there.
He now, should be very afraid.
I want to point out, Dr. Siemens, we supervise him, okay?
I knew that.
So we were going to talk about the 5 most common equine emergencies, but the note here is it says that you think that the more accurate title to this piece should be when to freak out and when to just go to bed and hope.
Well, I mean, the real answer to that is, and I think most of the veterinarians would agree, is that when you think it's an emergency, then we should as well. And sometimes we can triage these things over the phone. And now with the cell phones, I mean, it's pretty easy to get a photograph of some of these things. A lot of us are pretty busy, and so it's kind of important. I mean, all of our clients, all of our patients are important, but some of them are obviously more pressing. But I just thought it might be interesting to have just a general guideline here to just let people know, because it's pretty interesting. You know, I'll get a call on some of these things, and you know, dang, why didn't you call me a week ago? You know, we could have done something. So like a lot of things, anytime we have early intervention, and sometimes there's, you know, we take a wait and see attitude. But a lot of times early intervention will reap some benefits.
Now, Dr. Siemens, this has happened with my vet for sure. I probably bother her a little too much, but I will send a text and a picture or a video and say, what is this? Is this okay? Do you need to come out and see this? Whatever it is. Do you also, is that becoming more common in veterinary practice?
Well, yeah, it is. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. So I say that as a suggestion only in given circumstances. Some practices are so busy that we're just not able to get to you like that as quickly as we could. But I think that if a horse owner has a working relationship with a veterinarian, especially if it's a one-on-one, some of the larger practices, that can be a real challenge. But if you have a working relationship with your veterinarian, and once you have an established relationship so that he or she kind of knows that you know what you're about, those types of things can be better addressed either with a quick phone call or a text message, something like that.
Right, of course. Now, do you guys have cell service in Idaho? Is that like a...
No, we do have telephones. You gotta crank them, though. Okay.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. So, let's go with the five most common equine emergencies. What's number one?
Well, the most common equine emergency that we see in veterinary practice is colic. And so if the horse is not eating, well, then we need to look at these horses right away, because it's not generally a factor of the horse doesn't like the brand of alfalfa you're feeding him or anything like that. I mean, the horse is going to quit eating, and that's the first sign that you've got a gastric emergency or something along those lines. And you got to remember that colic is a symptom. It's not a disease.
Right.
And it can be something as simple as just a mild impaction. You know, things are just not moving through that 100-foot-long tube that we know of as the GI tract. Or it could be something as critical as an actual twist or a torsion of the bowel, which is going to require, you know, emergency surgery or something along those lines in order to try to get that corrected. So that's the first thing. The horse doesn't have to paw out C-O-L-I-C in Morse code or look at his, you know. There's no one thing that's going to tell you other than he's just not eating with his normal vigor and interest. So if he's normally a chow hound and he walks away, or you've got him in a group situation where, you know, you're feeding three or four or five horses and an old buck is off there by himself laying down, that's not a good sign.
No. Very good. Yeah, definitely. I know when I walk outside, it's like they see a big old giant bucket coming at them, you know.
You're the equine vending machine. That's who you are.
So you're the lunch lady.
If one doesn't eat, that's definitely a warning sign. All right, what's another thing that can be an equine emergency?
Well, probably number two on my list is going to be bleeding. And so, you know, if he's bleeding, then we got a problem. Most of the time, this is because of a cut or a laceration or blunt trauma, something like that. The thing that we must understand is that as soon as he starts bleeding, he's infected. Now, it might be a little minor infection. It might be nothing to worry about. But some of the most innocuous looking wounds can have some of the most devastating consequences. I mean, if you get a very small wound over a joint or a tendon sheath, that can cause, or often will cause, an infection that could be a career-ending type of an injury.
Life-ending, I think, too.
Yeah, it can be. I like to get onto these things as quickly as I can. And again, some of these things are something that we're just not going to be too worried about. But I like to look at all of them, just because some of them we can suture up. We can, you know, close it with stitches. And some of them we will just leave open, but all of them we want to look at, because it's amazing what will happen. You know, especially in the wintertime, you've got a bunch of hair covering the wound that looks fairly innocuous. And then once you shave the hair off that wound, you get into something that is a bit more serious than may have looked like at your first presentation.
Right. Absolutely. Well, the next most common equine emergency, and this is something that should definitely be a red flag, is your horse won't get up.
Typically, he's not getting up because he's got a bellyache. That's going to be the number one cause. But there can be other problems that will present the same way. And so I've seen a few of them that actually had fractures that it was just too painful for them to get up.
Right.
And you gotta remember that the horse as a prey animal, he doesn't like to lay down. I mean, he will lay down when he feels really, really safe and comfortable. But if there's anything that's even remotely suggestive of a threat, that horse is going to be standing so that he can institute that fight or flight syndrome that has kept him alive for these thousands of years. So if you walk up on your horse, even if he's your horse and he's really friendly to you, typically that horse will get up. And if he can't, then we got a problem. It's typically going to be colic, but it can be something else. So those are the types of things that we need to consider.
Gotcha. Okay, so far we've got when your horse won't eat, when your horse won't get up, and let's see, bleeding. Now, I did read here that this is really interesting, because when your horse is bleeding, by the way, you think, oh my God, they're going to die. Just going to bleed out. You know, you've got like a towel full of blood. How much blood is in a horse?
Well, it's really interesting. It's, you know, a little blood looks like a lot of blood coming out of your horse. You know, I mean, your neighbor's horse, ah, don't worry about it, you know. But a horse has about a gallon of blood for every 100 pounds of body weight. So your average backyard, you know, hay burner is going to have about 10 gallons of blood. So he can lose a gallon of blood, and it's not going to be too much more than you giving a pint at the blood bank. But, you know, there's a couple of things that you got to consider. You know, where is the source? And it's really interesting. You think people call me up and say, well, Buck's bleeding. And some folks will say, you know, I mean, he is just, you know, it's just a trickle. And you get there and it looks like they've been killing chickens for a week, you know. And the other guy call you up and say, oh, you know, it's the horse is bleeding out. And you get there and there's like 12 drops of blood on the ground. So I try not to triage those things over the phone. I just want to see them just to make sure. But one of the things that I think we need to remember is that the best way to stop bleeding on these guys is dry pressure. And so a lot of folks will actually put the water hose on them. Well, what that does is that just washes the clot away. And so you're not going to stop bleeding with a water hose. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And plus, even if it's just a little bit of blood, now you got 300 gallons of water on this poor horse. And it looks like he's lost 300 gallons of blood. So you probably want to just use dry pressure, you know, a paper towel, just your finger, any one of a number of ways just to put some dry pressure on that. And then just leave a wrap on until, you know, you can get some veterinary attention.
All right, gotcha. Looks like they've been killing chickens for a week. That's the best line I've heard all day. Another one would be non-weight bearing. You know, and as a vet tech, we would get this, oh my God, my horse is broken. Its leg, it's standing on the pasture. It can't come in. Its leg is broken. You get there and it's an abscess. Is that usually what it is?
That is the common presentation. And it's, you know, I've been in practice for a little over 30 years, and I've seen, I've probably seen 100 fractures, and I've seen probably 20,000 abscesses, maybe more.
Right.
And so our diagnostic plan here is just a numbers game. You know, what's it most likely going to be? And it's the old adage they told us in veterinary college was, you know, if you hear hoofbeats, don't look for zebras, you know, look for horses. It's the most common thing, because it's the most common thing. And so but again, you know, just from humane considerations, we would like to afford some pain relief for these horses, because an abscess is really painful. That's why they're basically, we call that three-legged lame. Because they're just non-weight bearing, but it can be something even more serious than that. And the other thing to consider is, especially if a horse has had repeated bouts of abscessation or particularly protracted one, these things are usually pretty easy to resolve within just a few days. I mean, a week, 10 days is pretty long for something as simple as an abscess. But if we've got protracted ones, or ones that have, you know, these types of abscess processes that have recurred over time, a lot of times that will indicate that we've got some underlying pathology in the foot. So I think taking a set of radiographs on these horses is probably a good thing to do, just to rule out some major hoof pathology. I've seen some coffin bone fractures and some things like that. That, well, you know, just a poultice on this is not going to help us. We need to go ahead and just dive a little deeper as far as treatment protocols.
So if a horse has repeated abscesses, is there anything you can do on a prevention level?
Well, you got to figure out what's wrong first, okay? You know, our understanding of disease processes is, I mean, it's kind of a silly analogy, but if you don't know what causes pregnancy, you can't institute birth control, right?
True.
We got to kind of understand. Yeah, you know what they call people that use the RIVM method of birth control? That they call them parents, okay? So the statistical average. So, but, you know, you got to understand that once we understand exactly what's going on the inside, then we can start talking about treatments and perhaps prevention. But it just goes to the diagnostic plan. They taught us in vet school. It's pretty interesting if you think about it like this. This diagnostics is not a concept of what you don't know. It's what you don't look for. And most of these things are real obvious. I mean, it's just amazing how simple some of this stuff is. But you got to look for it, and you got to know where to look. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these non-weight bearing horses, the first thing that a horse owner will think about is it's in his shoulder. But it is almost never in the shoulder in an adult horse. I mean, that shoulder lameness are so rare. I have to look very long and hard at a horse's foot before I start thinking about moving higher up the limb. And so we're starting the foot first because that's where it almost always is. And I have to go through some exhaustive measures to convince myself it's not in the foot before we start moving higher up the limb.
Right. Well, it's funny, you know, you mentioned being, you have to kind of figure out why, you know, my horse, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Duke, he just all of a sudden came out three-legged lame on one of his back feet, and had the vet out, and she found an abscess, and then I had the farrier out, and she's like, well, there's just no more hoof because he wears shoes in the front but not in the back. And she's like, put some shoes on the back and he'll stop getting bruises and then he'll stop getting abscesses. And boom, guess what? He's not getting any more abscesses on his hind legs. Shocker. So I know.
I mean, it is some of those things are just that simple. And so generally we try to start simple first and then, you know, move higher up once we need to do something more complicated.
Yeah, don't trail ride a barefoot horse on rocks. Hey, genius.
There's some horses that can do that. You know, God bless them, too. That's really nice to have. But a lot of horses are going to have a little steel on that.
Yeah. Let's see. The last one we have, the horse's eyeballs. This one, I tell people all the time, I'm like, call. Well, what do you think? Call. Well, but how about if I just call? This is the one thing, definitely call, and this is the horse's eyes.
Yep. Well, you got two kinds of eye problems. You got a goopy eye held open, you got goopy eye held closed or partially closed. And so a horse is going to demonstrate eye pain by holding his eye closed or partially closed. It'll be kind of squinting. And those are the kind of patients that we need to see right away. Okay, goopy eye held open, that can just be dust, flies, any one of a number of things, conjunctivitis. Horses don't get pink eye per se like cattle do, but they can get some conjunctivitis, which is the technical term for pink eye. And it can be a bacterial origin, and they will respond to antibiotics. But I don't get too terribly worried about a goopy eye with the eye held open. But the closed eye or partially closed, that can mean the corneal ulcer, and that's the most common cause of eye pain in horses. But it can also be an indication of something called recurrent uveitis, anterior uveitis, or beam blindness. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things we'd like to do pretty quickly. It's relatively easy to determine whether or not they've got a scratch on their cornea. We use a little fluorescein dye stain, a little green stain. Mm-hmm. They'll show up if they've got a scratch. So I like to get on these things as quickly as I can because we just from empathy, you know, if you've ever had something stuck in your eye, it hurts bad.
Yeah.
And that's why the horse is holding his eye closed. So we'd like to be able to get these horses treated as soon as we can because we can see some of these things get so badly that they actually lose sight in the eye. And that's never good. But again, some of these things are pretty forgiving. I saw a horse last winter that came in for an eye that was all the way closed. I mean, you couldn't open this eye at all. So we actually had to do a general anesthesia on this horse to just go ahead and even do an exam on it.
Wow.
And I pulled a piece of a tree branch out of his eye socket.
Oh,
that
man.
Was almost 4 inches long. It was buried down in his eye socket.
Oh,
you couldn't even see it.
And so
it was amazing. It did really do some serious damage to his cornea, but it didn't rupture the eyeball. So we treated that horse for a few days, and he got to where he was holding his eye all the way open. Got to where he was feeling pretty good. And that was 6 months ago. I saw this horse about 2 weeks ago. And he's got a pretty bad cloudy spot on the lower part of his cornea, but he's fully visual.
Wow!
And so even some of the worst train wrecks you'll see, if you'll just give him a little treatment and some time, it's just amazing how well some of these guys can turn around. So
now, Did you find that on radiograph or just by probing around in there?
I've found it with my fingers.
Wow.
God.
Oh.
No, it's really amazing. You know, you could spend, you know, thousands, even millions of dollars on all these instruments. That's the guy that taught me surgery when I was a grad student 112 years ago. We were doing something, and he just stuck his hand inside the surgical plate. He goes, you know, we could spend thousands of dollars on surgical instruments, but sometimes there's just nothing can compare to the human hand. So, yeah, I just stuck my finger in there and pulled its skull out. It was amazing. I mean, it was one of those things. It was like the clowns coming out of the clown car. You know, I mean, this thing just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Bang! Yeah. When is this going to stop? You know, I mean, I looked at the other eye to see if it was over there too. You know,
straight across.
it was wild, but you know, it just miraculously. I mean, and I guess the take-home message in all these things is there's no reason to panic. That you know, you just do what you can. And, you know, one of my favorite professors in veterinary college was also one of the ones that was the hardest on me. His name was Joe Joyce there at Texas A&M 100 years ago. And he was really hard on me and picked on me continuously. And he said, Seamus, don't worry about it. No matter what you do, you can't kill all of them, you know. So, he had the gift of encouragement. It was a spiritual thing.
Wow. Warm and fuzzy.
They are big, strong animals, and they can survive some of the most amazing things. And so, I mean, I always want to look at them and just where there's life, there's hope. And you just give them a shot, and it's amazing what they can pull through.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. And that's why I love you, because you're talking about these emergencies and we're making jokes, but the root of all of it is the horse. That for you, the foundation is the horse's comfort and the horse's health. And I love that about you. Dr. Seamus, thank you so much for coming on. When I saw your name on the list this morning, I was super excited because we just love having you on.
You're so nice. Can I plug my book?
Absolutely. Plug your book, plug your business, plug everything. You got time. Go.
Yeah, the book is Never Trust a Sneaky Pony and Other Things They Did Not Teach Me in Vet School.
Love it.
It took me about 20 years to write it, and it's just a lot of practice and anecdotes. It's kind of like some of the James Herriot books, All Creatures Great and Small. But me and James went to veterinary college, but he went to that different veterinary college. All of his patients live and all of his clients love him, okay? I went to this other vet school. it's available through my website, which is cornerstoneequine.com. And there's just one E between Cornerstone and Equine. And then click on the shopping part of the taskbar and you'll get to my book.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Cornerstoneequine.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Seamus. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, we'll do it again next month. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Well,
and now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Greenflower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
Well, in our continuing series on CBD oil, we're going to find out how we can use CBD oil for us and our animals. Roger, how do we determine our dosage for using CBD oil in people and in animals?
Probably the most frequently asked question that we get. You know, the thing to keep in mind with CBD is more is not always better. So what you want to do is you always want to start low and you just kind of want to go slow. So as a rule of thumb, what we suggest just in general for general health, but really even starting to find that specific dosage for a specific condition, is to start with a small baseline dosage somewhere, you know, around 2 to 5 milligrams. And you want to do that 2 or 3 times a day. And that's going to give you a total of like 6 to 10 milligrams of CBD. And just maintain that for 7 days and see if you're getting the results you want. And then if not, then, you know, bump that up a little bit, step it up about 2 or 3 milligrams, and then wait about 3 days at that dosage. And every 3 days, just keep bumping that dosage up by like 3 milligrams until you really begin to get the results that you want.
Okay, great. Is that dosage for people or is for our dogs or horses?
Well, actually, that dosage, that guideline is for people. For dogs, we recommend doing 1 milligram of CBD for every 10 pounds of your furry friend there. So if you have a 10-pound dog, you're going to use 1 milligram. If you have a 20-pound dog, you'll use 2 milligrams. And for equine purposes, we generally think it's best to start with a beginning dosage of about 40 milligrams, again, daily, and then for about 7 days. And then if you're not seeing the results you want, now you begin to bump that dosage by about 20 milligrams. So you go from 40 milligram dosage to 60 milligram dosage daily. And then every 3 days, again, just keep bumping that up a little bit until you begin to see the results that you want. Now, the reason why all that's important is because, you know, CBD oil is quite expensive. And this way, you're getting that benefit and you're finding that minimum effective dose without actually taking more than is necessary.
Okay, super. So how can we find out more about Greenflower Botanical Products?
That's easy. You can go to greenflowerbotanicals.com. And actually on the website, there's a specific section on dosing. So you can go right there and actually get a little bit more detail on what we're talking about. And also, importantly enough, you can if you purchase any of our products, you can use coupon code HRN for Horse Radio Network. Use coupon code HRN and your listeners will save 20% off their entire order at Greenflower Botanical.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil. And don't forget that coupon code, HRN, to get 20% off next time you place that order. Jamie, we are going to go to our guest. If we have time, we'll get to your list after the guest. If not, then we'll just save it for Friday.
Okay, sounds good. It's savable.
Yeah,
it's not time
sensitive.
That's
the nice thing about lists is like leftovers they keep.
And I'm getting a lot of people messaging me about mansplaining situations that they've had, and we're going to discuss that in the post show. So
in the auditor post show. I'm sure I'll be thrilled to hear that today. Why do I feel like
as long
I'm
as you don't mansplain?
Let's call our guest. We have an auditor spotlight today. We're bringing Maggie on. And Maggie has a lot of things going on, but she just got a new standard bred out of the kill pen, and I think that's what we want to talk to her about. So we're going to give her a call right now.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. It's Glenn and Jamie, and you're on the air. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie. How's it going?
Hello.
Good. So before we get to your big, exciting news, and I was just looking at the pictures of your new addition, I wanted to ask you, how long have you been listening to the shows?
About a year, I guess. A couple years, maybe.
You have a lot of catching up to do. We have 10,000 episodes now on Horse Radio Network.
I know. I've been working on it. I'm working on it. All these long drives back and forth across the country, I'm really getting caught up.
Yeah, well, that'll do it. That'll do it. I hope we're entertaining and not putting you to sleep.
Well, I did just get off work at 8 o'clock this morning. So,
so yes, she's putting her to sleep.
Yeah, she'll be asleep before this interview's done. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping to stay awake for the post show.
Okay, good. So what do you do for a living? You said you just got off work.
I'm a nurse.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. God, how long have you been doing that?
Oh, Lord. 32 years.
Oh, my God. And you haven't pulled your hair out
yet? I have 1,078 days to go before I can retire.
But not counting.
Nah.
Why, when you say it that way, it sounds like a lot of days, though, doesn't it?
Well, it's 2 years, 11 months, and 12 days.
I bless you for being a nurse for that long a period of time and still hanging in there, because I know a lot of nurses
don't
make it.
Can I please ask, what is like the standout weirdest thing you've ever seen? I love nurse stories.
An exorcism?
In the room?
Well, I was a psych nurse for 22 years.
Hmm. She's seen a lot of things, Jamie. She's seen a lot of things.
A psych nurse.
Yeah, the supervisor was there, and she just stood and shook her head. She said, exorcisms rarely go well here.
So somebody was trying to like perform an exorcism on somebody else?
A patient's family members.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Was it like in the movie where little girl bouncing off the walls and, you know, causing things to go flying through the walls and that kind of thing?
Yep. and Granny sitting there in her power scooter holding the baby.
Oh my God. Awesome.
In the middle of the day room.
What state was this in? Please don't say Oklahoma. Ohio. Please don't say Oklahoma. Okay, Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah. Was That's Stephen, a pretty crazy
Was
place
Stephen
too.
King in the room at the time making notes?
I don't know.
He should have been. So let's talk. I saw this post that you made in our HRN auditors Facebook page on the page. And it is a picture of a deer, like Glenn. I swear to you, this looks like Black Beauty when they got it at the sale at the end. I know you paid attention when I read the entire book, Black Beauty, on the air.
Yeah.
And I read the whole thing and Glenn was really paying attention, especially the part, this horse looks like Black Beauty. It's close to the end of the book. Remember this part, Glenn, when Farmer Thoroughgood and his grandson, Young Willie, buy back Black Beauty and to, quote, make him young again?
Oh, I remember that.
Oh my God. Yes, I know. That. And I saw the picture and I thought of the movie, the book, and I started crying. And I was like, oh, you have to maybe name him Willie or something. What did you name this sweet angel that you rescued from a auction?
Well, we're somewhere between Lincoln and Button.
LinkedIn?
I don't know yet. Someone said he looks like Abraham Lincoln's horse. Old Bob. And I'm like, well, my first husband's name was Bob, so that's not going to happen.
You can't call him Old Bob.
And so I thought, well, Link would be a cool name.
Yeah.
Because his registered name is Mountbatten.
Yeah.
Oh, like...
We already have a Monty, Montana Steel. He's already here, so we can't have another Monty. And the rescue that paid for his transportation or fuel, when she sent the PayPal to us, it said Mount Button instead of Mount Batten. I'm like, well, I'm partial to B names.
Maybe we should call him Button. Oh, I love it.
So
I saw
Button or Buttons, yeah.
Somebody else said Batman. Oh, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about, okay, so there's this like underground world of these people that take horses from, and they put them in these, what they sell, kill pins, and you have to bail him out now or he's going to be shipped off to slaughter. Was this one of those situations or was this an actual auction?
No, he was at a kill pen.
What is a kill pen?
Okay. We all know about horse auctions. Some of them are big time sales where, you know, horses are going to bring millions of dollars. Other auctions are where you take your horse when you can't keep him anymore, whatever. Somebody else buys him, takes him home, and he's a wonderful, beloved pet. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the winter, a lot of the regular sales, I mean, by regular, I mean sales that happen once a month, once a week. Those sales are where a lot of horses get dumped. And I don't really think the owners intend for them to go where they do.
I think a lot of times they don't
care. I just think, or they think, well, my horse is way too nice to end up on a kill track. My horse, someone's going to buy him because he's really nice.
I agree with you. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really nice horses in kill pens.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what is a kill pen. Is that the horse that's already been through the auction that has been bought by the meat buyer?
Yes. There are a few livestock buyers in the U.S. that have contracts with the processing plants in other countries. And they're supposed to provide so many horses every however often to fulfill their contract. And so they go to the auctions that tend to be lower priced. The weekly auctions where horses get dumped because they're lame. and I can't afford to keep him until he's rehabbed or he's old and he doesn't do the job anymore, whatever. Can't afford to keep him, kid going to college, whatever. So he, you know, these guys troll these sales and they know what the price per pound of horse meat is bringing this week.
Ugh.
Yeah. And if the horse doesn't bring that much, they buy them.
Okay, so then they end up in this kill pen. This like basically is a pen with a whole bunch of horses in it. And how did you get one out of there?
Well, a lot of them have found a nice secondary market with rescues. Horse people, well, animal lovers are suckers.
Okay.
So say I'm a kill buyer. I'm going to go to, say, the Sugar Creek sale in Ohio or the New Holland sale in Pennsylvania or wherever. And I'm sitting in the stands and this horse goes through. He looks like he might be a little bit off. He's got road shoes on. He's somebody's buggy horse. Meat price is 50 cents a pound. He looks to be about 1,200 pounds. I pick up this horse for $350. I take him back to my pen. I let one of the local rescues come in, take pictures of him. I'm going to sell him to them for $800.
Gotcha.
Now, so that brings up the question, why doesn't the rescue buy him out of the auction?
Right? Show up
somebody
earlier.
Has to be, well, yeah, well, somebody has to be there with a trailer. And most of the rescues can't coordinate that kind of manpower
and a lot
that
of,
kind of instant and that kind of instant money.
Right. And a lot of times what's happening with these two, having lived in New Holland with my office in the corner parking lot of that particular auction for 15 years. So what happens is they go into the kill pen and then the kill buyers go, okay, here, rescues, you have 10 days, 15 days to find a home for this horse, or I'm shipping it out. And they'll give them a certain period of time to post it so that the rescue doesn't necessarily have to buy it until they have somebody that wants it. And that's where those Facebook pages and all the underground stuff came in and, yeah. And how things pop in.
Because the rescues can buy all they can afford, you know, at
right.
cheap prices, but until they got someplace to put them.
Right. They're full, most of them. Most
I mean,
the
we're making an 8-hour one-way trip every couple of weeks to eastern Pennsylvania from southern Ohio.
Well, let's learn more about the horse
got room for, well, Mountain Batten or whatever it is that we're going to call him.
Batman.
He's a 19-year-old unraced standardbred. He appears black, but the standardbreds recognize brown as a color, which means he looks black, but he's got like mealy muzzle. And a little brown around his flanks. So he's not really black. He's not really bay. Genetically, I don't know what to. I guess he's technically black bay.
Dark bay, I think. DNA, yeah.
I don't know. Could be, yeah. I don't know. He looks black. He looks like Black Beauty.
He's dirty black. He looks like Black Beauty. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. He's a sweetheart. Unraced, standardbred. So he went far enough to get into training and be freeze branded.
What's he been doing for 19
years?
But
he never raced.
It's like,
pulling a buggy.
Yeah, pulling a buggy. Yeah.
Pulling a buggy.
Is
yep, he has road shoes on.
Is he sound?
Seems to be.
Yeah. Are you going to drive him? Or is he just going to hang out?
He's technically a foster.
I would have technically.
Yeah, Jamie does so well at that.
We know how that goes, right?
Yeah, I just had one in for training that's never leaving, so I get it.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm not fostering any greyhounds right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we have two other fosters here at the same time. So,
got
Gotcha. Well, bless his heart. He's just as cute as can be. And thank you for educating us. I wish there was some way we could interrupt this cycle. I have a friend here who has bought 7 horses from these people and pays, you know, $2,500 when they're probably buying them for $400. And it's just completely continuing the cycle of these criminals that are doing this and preying on the hearts of those of us who actually give a crap.
Well, there is one way.
And so many people say, well, isn't it illegal to slaughter a horse in the U.S.? Yes, it is. It is not illegal to transport them across federal lines.
Yeah, and there's been a whole bunch of legislation that has been proposed to stop that, but it's never happened. I mean, the only way you can do it, you can stop the cycle, is if there's enough people in the stands bidding the prices up that they can't afford to buy them because it doesn't make sense. That requires people sitting in the stands with lots of money. You know, it just...
Yeah, and with the economy the way it is, you know, it's still kind of up in the air. And
you are taking a big chance.
And
you know what? I don't advise anybody that doesn't know what they're doing to go into an auction and buy a horse.
That is the nice thing about this way of getting a horse safe. You know, I bring the foster here and the crash test dummy, trainer next door.
I resemble that.
I was just going to say, have you ever called that, Jamie?
Yeah. And they're usually broke. I mean, you know, most of them have been buggy horses. So they know left, right, and whoa. They're just trying to figure out what you're doing up there.
A lot of them come from the Amish, I would imagine, because there's a
big
population up there. And these horses have seen it all. And you're right. Like, when they're done with them, they're done with them.
My hard pony, Piper, came from the auction, $80 in New Holland, was standing there, going to go to the kill pen, and I had her till she was 45, and she was so well-trained, she taught me to drive. And we spent 10 years together driving around everywhere.
My good one-eyed mare, Fern, she came from Amish. She wasn't kill pen horse. You know, I bought her outright. She was too slow. 7 miles an hour, fast as she wants to go. I'm old. I'm fine with slow. Samantha Reeves, you know, we're friends. She learned to drive with Fern because Fern taught her. You know, get up on the seat and Fern will tell you how you're supposed to do it. You pull halfway into the intersection before you start your turn. That way you don't take out the stop sign with the wheel hub.
We all learned that one.
I didn't because I thought driving was terrifying. Listen, Maggie, we are running out of time, but I am so proud of you for saving this little sweet baby, Willie. His name is Willie because it's like a little boy.
Oh, it's Willie. Grandson.
Okay. So you're making me young again. Oh, my God. I love it. Glenn, I should read that again just to catch you up on.
Oh, yeah, that would be wonderful. Yes.
For those who don't know, I read Black Beauty in its entirety, one chapter at a time on Netflix.
One freaking chapter at a time.
And Glenn loved it, and it was amazing, and I loved every second of it. Anyway, Maggie, give Willie a big old kiss from me, and thank you very much for saving him.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Maggie.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've run out of time. We're going to have to put your list on hold. Yeah, the kill pen situation. Right.
It's out of control.
Well, 20 years ago, there wasn't the people that, you know, they were just shipping the horses off the same day. This whole, you know, letting rescues come in and making money, they just figured out they could make some additional money without having to pay the expense of shipping the horses. So that's only happened in the last 10 years, really, that it's really become prominent. So it is interrupting the cycle, as you the way you put it, for, you know, for some of those horses. But
it's better than nothing, but it still just seems like such a crime to like do this. I just wish we could get there a little bit earlier and outbid them. I mean, that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's what it takes, but that takes money and time and, you know, just
give me that job. Somebody hire me.
Again, though, I don't recommend somebody who doesn't know what they're doing to go to auction and buy a horse, because you're going to end up, the problem with doing that is then a lot of those horses end up back.
$1,000. $1 million.
Well,
all right, wrap it up. We got to go.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Tomorrow, we have the fox hunting edition of Horses in the Morning. And then Friday, of course, we have some great prizes on the line. Get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com for really bad ads. We have $600 in prizes this month on the line. So get those ads in right now. I noticed that there were a lot of voicemails coming in. So I think people are really yearning for these prizes. Thanks to HorseLovers.com for that. And thanks to Greenflower Botanicals and State Line Tack for their support today. We really appreciate it. For the auditors, hang on. Apparently, we're going to talk about mansplaining after the show. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it doesn't involve me. So
spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Do what I did. Do what I say and what I do.
You actually did it.
Yay. I got to go out and lunge him. But now the worst part is I have to make him trot around.
But give him a day or two, please.
No. You're supposed to do it 24 hours out.
Oh, really? It loosens things up?